Brother Rudy, what a wonderful song. I've never heard any better than that this morning. Thank you so much for singing today for us. And what a joy it is to see you there. And trust that the Lord is doing something in your heart. And hope you were able to join us for Sunday school. If you weren't, next Sunday morning, 10 a.m., we will be live stream for our Sunday school hour and several opportunities for you to get involved in a Bible study over the internet. And so I challenge you to get on our Facebook page or our web page. We'll direct you to those at 10 o'clock. And then this evening, normal 6:30 evening service, we'll be live streaming from here in the auditorium at the church. And we'll have a great time together. I want to thank you for being here. Would you open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, verse number 2. Joshua, early in the Old Testament, Joshua. And I want to preach for a while this morning about an overwhelming task. Joshua chapter 1. I usually like to start with something funny, so I'll not let this morning be any different. I heard about this husband and wife. He was sickly, and he finally had passed away, and he was afraid, the man was afraid, that his wife would not be cared for in the immediate days after his passing. And so he had left $30,000 just in cash for her to be able to carry over until insurance policies and whatnot came through. And so just a couple weeks after he passed, she was out with a girlfriend of hers, and she said, "I don't have any money. I don't have any spending money." And she said, her girlfriend said, "I thought your husband left you quite a bit of cash, about a good bit of money that just to get you over." And she said, "Well, he did, but I've spent it." He said, "Really, all $30,000? He said, "Yes, I spent $5,000 on the funeral and then $25,000 on the memorial stone." And she said, "Well, that's quite a memorial stone. That's amazing." She said, "How big was the stone?" And she held up her hand and says, "I think they said it's 4.5 carats, but I'm not sure." So be careful when you go. Somebody may remember you in a way you don't want to. So Joshua chapter 1, that's of course a joke. No truth in that story at all. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 2. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall be not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses." I want you to remember this phrase, "so I will be with thee. And I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Verse number 8 is a familiar verse to us. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. I want to preach a message this morning entitled "An Overwhelming Task." An overwhelming task, because all of us get tasked or get tapped sometimes to perform a task that is overwhelming, as Joshua finds himself doing. And I imagine that most folks listening today, watching today, would find themselves in some situations where, if they're honest, they say, "Lord, it's not within me to know how to do that." And the scripture is very clear that it's not within man to direct his own steps, but the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Let's pray together as we preach about this, an overwhelming task. Father, be with us now. And this, the first of our offerings of online service this morning, Sunday school, and then this, the first service here, and we'll do another one this evening. Lord, we're asking you to bless and work in the hearts of people who are watching today and listening. I pray that, Lord, you would do a great, great work. And as we dive into your word, dear God, may it minister to us, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got quite a passage here. Moses is gone, the great servant of God, the great leader, the one that was faithfully standing and making waters part and calling down power from on high and seeing God give the Ten Commandments again the first time and then again the second time. And so we find ourselves with Joshua seeing that it's now his duty to lead, but he's full of apprehension and full of fear. At this point, Joshua might have thought that Moses never had any fears. But you do a quick history lesson, and Moses didn't want to lead any more than Joshua wanted to lead. Moses was the one that told God, argued with God, and I'm sure that all of us have done the same, that we have argued back and forth with God to say, I don't think that I'm the right person for God, for this God, but I got a good idea in case you haven't thought of so-and-so. How many of you understand that it's a pretty futile thing to try to tell God something he's not thought of? And so Joshua may have had a hard time remembering that Moses was also not that keen on stepping up to the leadership plate, and he wanted to somebody else to go instead. Can I just tell you this as a little side note? That person that you or I admire, maybe me as a pastor of a great church, as I look to somebody as a pastor of a great church, I say, wow, if only I could lead like so-and-so. Or maybe in your profession, you say, wow, if only I had the leadership abilities of so-and-so. Remember, so-and-so might not always been so good at what they're doing. It could be that they've been in it, as I look at a pastor of a great church, could be they've just been pastoring for 30, 40, 50 years, and maybe the Lord's brought them through so many things. How could they not stand and honor him in faith? Never look that way, thinking that somebody else has got it, but I don't, because remember that the Lord can empower us for whatever the task is at hand. Edmund Burke said this, never despair, but if you do, work on in despair. Joshua, so in this passage, is commissioned by God. He's got an overwhelming task, and I think of it as we apply it now to today. I think about some folks entering into retirement. I've told some of you before that my father-in-law, when he retired, he said, I think I need to go back to work because it was easier when I was at work than it is now that I'm retired, because it seems like now that I have nothing to do, everybody finds stuff for me to do. And so he wanted to retreat back to the plant that he'd worked at for 37 years and go there instead of come home. Maybe it's that change from workforce to retirement. Maybe it's that marriage that's coming up. Maybe the Lord is blessing your home with children. I don't know what the change is. Maybe it's pastoring a new church. And then having to make some of the changes we've made in the last 7 days or so. Whatever the case might be, I believe that all of us can identify with Joshua when he finds himself and God has to give him this pep talk. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. It reminds me of a dad telling a boy or a son or a daughter, either one, that's not wanting to do something, kind of bemoaning the fact that they've got to do it. So eventually, mom gets tired of messing with them, and dad comes in and says, get up, and we've got to get it done. So Joshua, I believe, is told by God, get up. Go do the work that I want you to do, because here we see Joshua being commanded by God. The past is in the past. Moses is gone. Now arise and go over this Jordan. Let me give you about 4 points from this passage that I think will be a great help to all of us as we look at overwhelming tasks in our lives. Number one, I want you to remember this, that the strength was God's, not Moses's. Look in verse number 5, if you would. The Bible says that God is telling Moses here, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee, again giving this pep talk, all the days of thy life. And then I love this passage, this part where I told you to pay attention to as we read over it. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. See, the secret wasn't that Moses was such a great leader. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, and he was a great man of God. He was a meek man and all of the traits that we know about him. But the secret wasn't that Moses was so wonderful. The secret was, if there is a secret, it's not one. The secret is, though, that Moses had a great God. And I'm looking at many people look at many people throughout my week and as you talk to people, and I see this same thing as I look at many different people, and they have this same thought in them, I can't. And they'll oftentimes put somebody else's name in there, I can't like so-and-so can. Can I remind you that so-and-so couldn't do anything either except what God allows him to do? In my estimation, my line of work here as a pastor, I can't look at some other preacher and say, well, if only I had that. No, so-and-so can't do it unless the Lord would empower him. You look at somebody that's your superior manager, whoever, and well, if only that, I only had that trait. Well, remember that the strength in Moses' life was not Moses's, but it was God. And when he said, so I will be with you, the word of God says, there was one simple reason Joshua shouldn't feel inferior to Moses. And that one simple reason was Moses wasn't doing what was needed. God was doing it through Moses. The water that Moses parted, who you know who did that? Wasn't Moses, nor was it his stick. It was God Almighty that did it. And when Joshua is going to need to do the same here in a little bit, it's going to be God that parts the water there as well. Why could Joshua have confidence? Why could he expect victory? Why could he hope to see miracles? Why could he see his crossing coming? Because God did it for Moses. And if God did it for Moses, he's no respecter of persons. He could do it for Joshua. One time we rented a jackhammer at the church I served at years ago in Murfreesboro. And we were busting out some concrete because the parking lot was disarranged in a certain way. We didn't want it, so we were busting out some concrete. And so we rented this jackhammer, and me and some other staff guys, we were busting this concrete out. We got all that job finished, and we were about ready to take it back to the rental place. And somebody remembered that, well, we want to bust out another little part of concrete so we can level that out later. Nobody came back to our staff people and said, listen, we need you to bust. Now, they may have, the pastor, because he didn't want to do it, made me do it. But he didn't need to come back to me and say, listen, I know you know how to bust out concrete. And you've got a special knack about you with busting out concrete. The truth of the matter is, he didn't need to come to me to say that. Anybody could have grabbed hold of that jackhammer and busted out the concrete. The power, the ability, the wherewithal to get it done was not in the person on the backside of that jackhammer on the handle of it. The power and the ability to get it done was that machinery that somebody had developed that would bust that concrete up. And what I'm telling you that story for is this. The strength of you, the strength of me, the strength of your grandma, your grandpa, whoever else we look at, the strength of them is not their ability to get it done. Their ability, their strength in them is the Lord working through them. So I tell you, number one, that the strength was God's, not Moses', is verse number 5. But look, if you will, in verse number 8, not only do we see that the power was God's and not Moses', but in verse number 8, that famous verse that we're all familiar with, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And it gets on down to the end of the verse. It says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. When shalt thou make thy way prosperous? I'd like to ask back. And then thou shalt have good success. When is that then? That then is when you meditate therein day and night. For then, and that then refers back to the first part of the verse when it says, thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou shalt observe to do, mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. There's one simple reason Joshua shouldn't feel inferior to God, and that's because it was God's power, not Moses' power. And there's also reminding him to be in the book, the words and the sayings of God, so that we can understand that it again is God working through his word in your life and in my life. And there's a reason why sometimes we're powerless as Christians, because we're not in the book. And I want to remind you, as people of God, we are supposed to be people of the book. And not just something we carry when we come to church, or now you're in your living room, wherever you're at, not just something we carry when we come to church, but that we get in it and allow it to get into us. And as you see the fact that the Bible says, then this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, then thou shalt have good success, and then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. I was doing a little job around the house the other night, and it was late, and I'd been to had been out for a meeting, and so I was coming back in and needed to get it, but it was outside, and I had a flashlight, nice looking flashlight, had all the essentials, so I thought, except when you turn on it wouldn't work. It doesn't matter how good your flashlight is. Doesn't matter how nice it looks. Doesn't matter if you bought the $20 one instead of the $2 one at the Dollar Tree or Dollar General. Doesn't matter which one. It doesn't matter how nice it is if it doesn't have a battery in there that works. All it is just decoration. And how many of you understand when you're in the dark, you don't want decoration? It's hard to see. It's amazing how much we'll spend on stuff, but how much stuff doesn't mean anything unless there's a power source in there. The most important part of that flashlight was a new battery. And I'm trying to tell us this morning that we clean up. Sometimes we get in church, and thank God for that. We think that we can, and we take a few classes about leadership and this, that, and the other. But can I remind you, the power in your life is in the Word of God. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The Bible says, Jesus Christ speaking, men should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Folks, we've got to get back to the book. I don't know that we've ever been more biblically illiterate than we are. I don't know. Many times Christians, we don't even know the basics of the timeline of Scripture, and we don't get in it on a regular basis. Brother John, I just find so much hard things in there. There's enough hard things in there. I suppose there'll be enough things in there to keep us looking, keep us digging, keep us searching until Jesus comes and gets us. But there's also, while we're searching, while we're digging, while we're looking, it is empowering our lives. It's cleaning our lives. I remember a story of an older man telling a young man to take this basket that was made of tightly woven material, and he said, take the water from the bottom at the little stream and take it up the top of the hill. And he did that, and by the time he got up there, all the water had leaked out. And he said, when he came back, he said, all the water leaked out. He said, do it again. He repeated that command 3 or 4 times. And finally, the young man was so frustrated that he told the older gentleman, he said, this is useless. And the older gentleman looked at him and he said, I'm not so sure it's useless. Look at your basket. And he looked down at his basket. He said, what are you talking about? He said, when I gave you the basket, it was dirty. He says, you've carried that water, and it's washed that out, and that water that's gone has absorbed that dirt, and it's pushed it out in some dirty water, and you've taken it enough to where it's cleaned you up. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? The Bible says, by taking heed to the Word of God. And so not only does the Word of God empower us, but the Word of God cleans us, and the Word of God is our help and our comfort and our guide. And I see in Moses here, or Joshua, as he's facing the death of Moses and looks at that, he's reminded the strength was God's, not Moses's. And whatever you're facing today, whatever it is that you're battling with, can I remind you, you got this. As long as God is with you in it, if you're a child of God, He empowers you and He helps you. As somebody once said a long time ago, that you and God make a majority. The strength was God's, not Moses's. But not only that, remember that the power is in the book, the Word of God. But then I want you to look down in verse number 9, if you will. Not only do we see the power in verse number 8 is in the book, but then I see the command that he's given in verse number 9. He says, if not, I commandeth thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. And the next phrase, I love, says this, neither be thou dismayed. I meet too many Christians, as I told you, I meet too many people who could be labeled as dismayed. Dismayed means this. To prostrate, lay out flat, to prostrate, hence to break down, either literally by violence or, in this case as many of us, figuratively by confusion and fear. That's what dismayed means. And the Scripture tells us not to be that way. I am reminded of that psalm, be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Written by a lady, Sevilla Martin, back in 1904. Her preacher husband was out at a preacher's meeting, and she was in bed, bedridden in New York. And while he was away, in that one day, she wrote that song. And when he returned home later that evening, he took it and then later put the music that we enjoy in this church to that very song. But there, laying on a sick bed, unable to get out, she wrote the words that we've all been blessed by and told folks to be not dismayed, whate'er betide, because God will take care of you. You know, I'm thinking about the fear and the anxiety and the confusion in our nation right now. Can I tell you what Sevilla Martin told us in that song? Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. We can be strong because of God's promises to be with us. Now let me give you a little review. I said, number one, that remember that God's power was what made Moses great, not Moses himself, and that was a huge encouragement to Joshua. I'm reminding you that God told him the power is in this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you'd read it and heed it, and then thou shalt have good success. But with that, God says, be not dismayed. When the God of all universe tells you and I to be not dismayed, we can listen to that. If I come up to you and say, listen, and pat you on the back, it's going to be okay. You know how strong that statement is? Only as strong as I am. If I come up and tell you because you lost $5 and it blew away in the wind somewhere and you couldn't find it anymore, it went down, and I came up to you on the back and patted you on your back, said it's going to be okay, I can make that statement true because I have $5 in my wallet. Worst case scenario, we can't find it at all. I'll give you the $5 to replace you. So the promise that it's going to be all going to be okay is only as good as the person making the promise. And now remind yourself who made this promise. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It's only as strong as the one promising. And when God makes the promise, we can take it to the bank all day long. Although your bank won't be open for the lobby part, but it'll be through the drive-thru. Be not dismayed. God will take care of you. So I told you the strength was God's. I told you, remember the power is in the book, and remember that we're not to be dismayed. Now, I want to go from verse number 10 and verse number 11 and give you the last point before I close this morning. And I give you this to number 4, go on for God. I mentioned that Joshua was strengthened by the promise that God was going to be with Joshua as God had been with Moses. And now God tells Joshua, move on. Verse number 11, pass through the host, command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within three days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. God says, you've got it all settled down, Joshua. You know where the power is coming from. You remember who's financing and funneling the power through this for this project? Now, move on. You know, we load trucks to drive to a destination. We prepare meals to feed people. We build houses to live in. We prepare sermons to preach them. We build cars to drive. And we get our strength from the Lord to go live for Him. God does not strengthen us or doesn't desire to strengthen us just so we can be strong right there in our own little existence and never help anybody. I've seen so many people during this time in our nation, I've seen so many people helping in this trial, be it checking on folks or delivering groceries or asking to go help here or pick up somebody there if they can't because they're afraid of their health and their susceptibility to illness, maybe pick up something for them or take them somewhere and clean all things. Let's use whatever we can for the glory of God. I've seen many people take this, even this problem in our nation, and use it for God's glory. And so as I see Joshua told by God, he said, listen, Joshua, pass through the host, verse 11, command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, get your food ready, for within 3 days we're going to pass over the Jordan. We're going to have another water crossing and see what God would do. And so Joshua is told by God, go on for God. Move on for the Lord. God didn't save you and empower you and strengthen you and give you His word and give you His promises for you just to sit there and say, well, I guess I'm just going to be good right here all by myself till Jesus comes to get me. God wants us to go live our lives for His glory and interact with people and do different things for His glory and preach the gospel and get missionaries and all of these things. Sometimes when a tragedy or thing like that is happening right now in our nation comes, we kind of freeze. And so I would challenge you to not freeze, but go forward for the glory of God, do it in the appropriate manners and all those things. But remember that God has given us all the necessities to move on out for Him. And as He's told Joshua, He says, up, boy. Get everybody ready. Tell them get the food ready, get the supplies ready, because it's not going to be but 3 days. We're going to march out of here. We're going to cross over Jordan, and we're going to go get that land that you could have had a long time ago, but you didn't for your disobedience. But we're going to go get that land that I promised you. Go on for the Lord. Joshua had an overwhelming task. How'd you like to follow Moses? Not too well, would we? None of us. But Joshua was now serving the same God that Moses had served. When Moses went to the mountain, met alone with God, and his face shined because he'd been so near the presence of the Lord, and came down, now the same God that empowered Moses is now empowering Joshua. And my friend, we may not have some of the Old Testament experiences. I understand the Lord works in some different ways in different eras of Bible history. And so we may not be able to claim hearing those audible voices as some of the Old Testament characters did. But my friend, it's the same God. And what God did for them, God can do for us. Joshua had an overwhelming task. You've got some overwhelming tasks. You've got some difficulties coming your way. You've got some problems that, but barring some help from God, you're not going to be able to get through. My friend, you don't have to look at what you can do without God. If you're a believer in Christ, you're looking at what you and God can do together. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so this morning, I challenge you, like Joshua was challenged before, to get up. Moses may be dead, but God, Moses' God, is alive and well. Your person that you followed may be gone. One of these days, this church has had a great history. It's had wonderful pastors since it began, but wonderful pastors, Preacher Lastly, Brother Jenkins, and different pastors have pastored here in this particular local church. But regardless, one of these days, if nature takes its course, we pray it's the rapture, but one of these days, Brother Lastly will go on to be with the Lord. And the same God who gave many victories at this church can continue giving victories. Maybe your mentor is gone. Maybe your leader is gone. Somebody who has been so much help to you, a grandparent, one of our members, or grandmother passed just recently, and that service is today. Maybe your mentor has gone and gone on to glory. Can I tell you that the same God they served is now empowering you? The same God that they served and lived for wants to bless you and wants to be your source, wants to be your power. Be strong and of good courage. I'm reminded of an old Southern preacher that was used of the Lord at a seminary. And he told the young men as they had finished up their training and their graduation exercise, he was with a small group of them, and he told them, "You got your train loaded? Now pull out." And what he was meaning, we didn't train you to keep you here. We trained you and prayed over you and sought the Lord in your life. We put in you as much as we possibly can. You got your train loaded, now pull out. If we're a child of God this morning, the Lord has filled our wagon and filled our train. We ought to pull out for the glory of God and see what the Lord would have us do. If you're watching this morning, and you're saved by the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got the blessed Holy Spirit that lives within you and dwells within you, can I challenge you to remember the fact that God will take care of you? If you're here this morning, you're not saved. You don't know the Lord as your Savior. Maybe you know all about Him. Can I tell you that He stands there waiting, ready for you to call upon His name? The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Perhaps you're viewing this service today and you've been convicted, you've been bothered, you've had things churning inside of you, but your life has not been right. You haven't seen it happen the way you want it to happen. Could I ask you this question? Perhaps it's that you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior. You say, "Oh, Brother Herdman, I've known all about Him. I've been in church much of my life." I didn't say you knew about Him. I said you know Him as your personal Savior. Whole lot of difference between knowing about someone and knowing that person. And maybe you're watching today, and there's never been a time when you put your faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Can I just tell you that the Bible is very clear that all of us are sinners, and all of us deserve to spend eternity in a wicked place called hell without the Lord. But that Jesus Christ died for our sins, which is why we deserve to go there, because we're sinners. Died for the sins of the world so that we could instead spend an eternity with Him. And as I made the promises to God's people that God would be with you, I make you this promise that He says that He would, whenever somebody called upon His name, He would save them. If you're here this morning knowing that you're a sinner, know you need the Savior, can I challenge you to take God at His word? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." My friend, could I ask you to put your faith in Jesus Christ alone as your personal Lord and Savior? So whatever your need is, I trust that you would look to the Savior. If you're a saved individual today, then the Lord wants to empower you, help you, be with you like He was with Joshua, as He was with Moses. If you're unsaved this morning, you need to trust Christ as Savior. The Lord wants to save you. Would you do this favor there in your home? Would you bow your heads or wherever you're watching from? And as we pray together, I want to pray for you, asking the Lord to bless and do something special in your heart. As our piano player begins to, or as she comes, and when she begins to play, as ask you just to take a little inventory. Are you dreading and fearing and wondering whether or not God will help you through the difficulties you have facing you? As God was with Moses, God was with Joshua. As God was with my mentors, some of which have went heroes, some of which have went on. As God was with my good pastor mentor, whose services are changed just like ours are. God will be with me. Oh, what a wonderful song she's playing. Have thine own way, Lord. And would you let the Lord have his way in your heart right now? If you're saved and you've got an overwhelming task that's facing you, could I challenge you right there to pray and ask the Lord to strengthen you, help you, enable you to get through it? We do have folks listening or monitoring the phones of our church, and the number is down at the bottom of your screen. If you'd like to call and have some personal help as you seek the Lord in spiritual decisions, then I challenge you to call. Maybe there's something you're struggling with and you just need somebody to pray with you. Typically, we'd have an altar call at the church and we would invite you to come and let some saint of God take the word of God and help you. And since we're limited on that, right now the phones are open. You're welcome to call 477-3311. And there's a dedicated Christian on the other end of that line that would love to pray with you about whatever's happening in your life. Maybe you need to accept Christ as your Savior, and you'd like to have somebody talk to you about it, please call. There's also an email address at the bottom of the screen that you could email us if it's some need that doesn't need to be met right now. But you need prayer about something. Would you reach out to us? I want to give one last shot to you, Christian. Joshua was overwhelmed, and I myself have been overwhelmed in things in my life, as I'm sure you have. The time that I've risen up and seen success, like the Word of God says, is when I've remembered that the Lord is with me. His Word is there to guide me. His Word is there to empower me, help me. And I challenge you to be along with me, saying, Lord, we'll trust you in these issues. This is an overwhelming task. We're involved with our nation right now. And may we, as the people of God, just simply rely on the Lord to allow us to be helped through this situation. I challenge you one last time, Christian, make that commitment to the Lord. And those that are unsaved, not knowing the Lord, right there where you sit, if you know you're a sinner, you know and believe, though, that Jesus Christ died to save you from your sins, wouldn't you reach out in faith to Christ? Just pray and ask Him to be your personal Savior, forgive you of your sins, and to trust Him to take you to heaven. Father, it's our joy to get to be in your house this morning. And Lord, we had never planned it to be broadcast online, live stream only, but here we are. Lord, thank you for the musicians. I'm blessed by the song that our pianist chose. Even this morning, I'm blessed by the special that was sung before then. I'm blessed by the specials before that. Lord, you've been so good to us. Thank you that we live in an age which we can have service online, And Lord, I pray that your work would continue to settle in on the hearts of people. Bless, we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. And we are so thankful that we were able to come to you via this format. And we did get word that James Bodenheimer rededicated his life to Christ. We thank the Lord for letting us know that. And what a joy it is to get to hear from folks. And so we challenge you to let us know of decisions, if we can be a blessing to you in any way at all. And I invite you back at 6:30 this evening. And it's our joy to get to broadcast there or be online with live stream and Facebook Live and a variety of others. And again, if you have any issues getting online, please feel free to call our church office, and we'll be glad to help you through any of those issues we can. I want to say one last time, God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today, and have a wonderful, wonderful day for the glory of God on the Lord's Day. Thank you. God bless.